Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me share this in a way that's simple and clear, and that we can all get what you'd think that we should get out of this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is this time of year, and I do try to talk about things that we celebrate this particular time of year, so I do try to stay within the margins of what we're doing. Sometimes it's difficult to get messages for certain times of year, but I still try to dig at it and still try to do it. I've never really personally had heard much on Joseph. Did you through the years? I don't remember of hearing much on Joseph. You know why? Because there's not a lot of information on Joseph. We don't have a lot of information in the scriptures. You know why that is? Because Joseph was just a stepdaddy. You see, the real father is in heaven. So much like John the Baptist, who had to what? Decrease so his cousin could increase. It's pretty much like Joseph. You know, the spotlight's taken off of Joseph because Joseph's just stepdaddy. Do you ever wonder what Jesus looked like? Well, if Jesus didn't have any seed from his stepdaddy, guess who he looked like? He looked like his Father in heaven. That's who he looks like. We're made in the image of our Heavenly Father, so God, his facial expressions and images, is Jesus. Jesus would have taken after his Heavenly Father, not his earthly father. His earthly father just provided a place for him to live. He was a carpenter, so he provided a place for him to live. Probably built the place or whatever he did to it. He probably did it himself. Some thought he was some kind of a mason because there was stones and blocks. Not blocks, really. They actually carved and cut the stones to shape them so they'd fit where they need to put them. I'm getting some feedback. You got to back me off here a little bit. I'm getting some. That's better. There we go. All right. If you have your Bibles, I want you to see where I'm getting this information. I want you to see where I'm getting the information. So we read the first section, and that's going to have a lot of information on Joseph. In fact, we're going to have some duplicate things about Joseph that was duplicate with Mary. Mary was pure, but the word that King James uses for Joseph, he was just. Now, there's a lot of similarity there. Mary was pure in the fact that she'd never laid with a man. She was pure in that respect, but Joseph was a just man. He was a lover of God and obviously must have been raised in a Christian home. It's not always the case, but we don't know a whole lot about Joseph's parents. We know he came from the house of David. It was important that Joseph came from the lineage of David as Mary, because it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of the house and lineage of David. So we know that that had to be. So the first thing here we're going to look at Joseph, he was quiet. What do you think quiet means? Quiet just simply means, you know, we say that with people that don't talk a lot. Maybe sometimes people aren't as sociable as others. God just made it the way it is in my life that I can talk to anybody. It's just the way it is. I remember taking Homer. Of course, Homer liked to eat, and he wanted to go to certain restaurants. And we were sitting one time in one of the restaurants, and he said, he knew I was like that. I said, can you talk to that person right there? I said, yes. What do you want me to talk about? Well, he said, I just want to see you talk. I want to see if you can talk to him. So I went over and started talking to him. I said, what do you want to know about him? It's just the way it is. Some people can do that. God gives you a gift. I believe it's a gift that God can give you. It's interesting because sometimes people just strike up a conversation with me. They just think I'm just somebody they can talk to. And they just start talking to me. It's just the way it is. And then there's some people don't say boo. They won't even say boo if they're sitting in your presence. They'll just sit and look at you. They won't say nothing. They're not real sociable, but that's just the way it is. Okay, so all that to just say he was quiet. That's basically what he was quiet. He just wasn't probably very really sociable. He was just quiet. He didn't have a lot to say. If you asked him, he'd talk to you. But he didn't go out of his way to probably talk to anybody. He was a carpenter. Okay. So I see a reference here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? There we go. There's his occupation. Now, of course, these are Nazareth people. They're talking. These are his home folks, kin folks, talking about him. And so it says that when he has come into his, look at verse 54, when he was come into his own country, okay, that would be Nazareth. He taught them in their synagogue. And by the way, that was when he picked up the scripture and talked about Isaiah. Today it's fulfilled in your ears, how that God was going to use him in such a way. And of course, that prophecy in Isaiah was there, and he picked it up and he read about himself. And of course, his own people, they just got upset because they thought they knew him. And this is the conversation. It says, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this a carpenter's son? You see, they're making a bit of a mockery out of him. They just don't believe anything that he's tried to say. He said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today. Now, they understood that. They knew what he was saying. And of course, it was too much for them to handle. They just didn't believe that. And that's what they're saying here. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And of course, this is a scripture we're going to pick up on a little bit later. Just put something there. We'll finish this a little later because we'll get to that. How many did you know that there was two Bethlehems? I just recently actually found that out. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I just recently found out there was two Bethlehems. Now, I was to the one Bethlehem of Ephrata. Remember, the scripture in Micah was that he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. Now, the other Bethlehem was located nearby, near Nazareth. Anybody know how close it was? I happened to see and read about it. It was 9 miles, about 5 or 6 hour foot journey. 9 miles. 5 to 6 hours. That was also called Bethlehem. I never knew that. But the Bethlehem, of course, that Joseph was from, because there was a tax time, Rome wanted to know who's going to pay taxes. You know, it wasn't much different then as it is today. The government wants everybody's tax money, by the way. Nobody slips by. They want to know where everybody is. That's why they want you to register when you're 18. They think it's for the vote. It's just to get your tax money. Okay, so not much different today than it was in Rome. So Rome had a tax census. And they had to return to their original homes for this tax registration. And of course, that's what brought Joseph and Mary to the place where they had to be. You know, it's interesting. God makes things happen. He makes things happen in order for prophecy to be fulfilled. And that was the reason why this taxation was, so that it would get Joseph to Bethlehem, because it was prophesied that is where Jesus was to be born. Bethlehem, Ephrata. All right. And by the way, this is probably where he found Mary, in Bethlehem. It's possible, since he was a native and a descendant of David. But he found Mary probably at Nazareth, not at Bethlehem. He found Mary probably in Nazareth. And it says that Joseph was betrothed. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed. That's an engagement contract. And how long did we say it lasted? 1 year. Matthew 1:18. Engagement lasted for 1 year. Consisted of three phases. First thing, the parents of the pair would have to reach an agreement and draw up a binding contract. Well, how do you like that? They both had to agree on this marriage. A little different today, isn't it? One family's okay with it, and the next family don't think the marriage should take place. Well, in biblical days, the parents of the pair would reach an agreement and draw up a binding contract. And after that, a portion of the bride's price was paid. How do you like that? A portion of the bride's price was paid. And then finally, after 1 year probation, the man brought his wife home. So Joseph was betrothed. That's number one. Joseph was pure. Another word we saw in the life of Mary. Even despite being engaged, Joseph had neither lived with Mary, nor did he sleep with her. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And apparently Mary had kept her knowledge to herself. And Joseph only learned of his fiancée's condition when it became obvious. Wow, can you imagine? When it became obvious, Joseph realized what had happened. And he wouldn't be much different than anybody and than any other man after realized that he's engaged and she's pregnant. My bride's pregnant. She must have been having an affair. Can you imagine? This is what went through Joseph's mind. He was normal, like all the ordinary men, and realized she was with child. Imagine. You think they had some words? I don't know, but I can tell you, probably didn't go good for a while. Think about this. I mean, you know, this is just normal stuff. I can tell that he was agitated. Joseph was agitated by this. Why is that? Because God had to send an angel to calm him down. He was agitated. He was upset, as normal man would be. He was ordinary, normal. As the Bible says, he was just. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, we would say he was a good man. He loved the Lord. Verse 19 is where I'm getting it, by the way. It means that Joseph lived in a way that had pleased God. And he had obeyed the laws of Moses. And it certainly would have required him to take action in this particular case. Adultery was punishable by what? Stoning. As he thought about these things, as he was pondering these things, he was thinking about this stuff. He knew adultery was punishable by stoning. So another thing we see about Joseph is he was fair. He was fair, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, I know this is a real tough issue here, marriage and divorce. Some will argue that it's just Christians cannot get a divorce. Now, what did we just read about Joseph? Would you say Joseph was a Christian if he was a just man? Hello, I'm talking to you. Would you say he's a just man? Why is he contemplating divorce? Because the law of Moses allowed it, permitted it. Listen to me now. Jesus said it wasn't like this from the beginning. You want to ask Jesus what he thinks of divorce? He hates it. But I allow Moses to give you a writing of a divorce because of what? Do you know what it says? Because of the hardness of your heart. Do you understand what that means? Steadfastly immovable. Another way of saying stubborn, because of your stubbornness, because you don't want to make it work. You don't want to make it work. You want to throw in a towel. That's another way of saying because of the hardness of your heart. That's why I allowed it and permitted it. So we know Joseph was a just man. He didn't want to make a public example of her and shame her. And so he really was thinking about giving her a writing of divorcement. This is what he was thinking of. And it was perfectly permissible. And he was thinking on it. But while he thought about that, what happened? An angel came to him and set things straight. Angel wanted to make him aware that what made her pregnant was not an affair. She had an affair, all right, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible. Joseph, she's a good woman. And Joseph, she's not laid with anybody. Because that which is in her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid to take her as your wife. She's a good woman. In fact, chosen by God. Very special lady she was. Not quite as special as the one denomination has made her out to be. But he was fair. He was merciful. He had noble character. He didn't want to make a public example. How deeply he must have loved her. There's no doubt in my mind Joseph really loved her. He really did love her. And maybe Mary didn't tell him about her pregnancy until she started showing. And Joseph maybe didn't tell her what his next step was going to be either. But he thought about it. And maybe he probably didn't share it with her, what he was thinking. But he didn't allow himself to be guided by unrestrained vengeance because of it. But when the angel came to him, we see another character. Joseph was level-headed. Level-headed. Don't you wish your husband was level-headed? He was level-headed. Resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 19. And as he thought about these things and what the law of Moses said about it, of giving the woman a certificate of divorce, and it had to be done privately in the presence of two witnesses. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 is where you'll find that. And it had to be done in the presence of two witnesses. But he could have done that. He could have done it quietly between two witnesses. And as he thought about it, of course, the angel appeared and changed his mind. And after that, Joseph had no problem. His fears were all settled. Can you imagine getting a visit by an angel? Wow. Mm-mm. After that visitation, Joseph's thinking was a lot different. A lot different. You know, he was so excited about the Messiah that he didn't want to have any relationships with Mary till Jesus was born. That's what the scripture says. He had no relationship with her. Not that he surely didn't want to, but he was that special. Jesus was a Messiah chosen to be born with, you know, my girlfriend who's my wife, and Jesus is going to be born. Wow. Joseph was an ordinary man. So how does he react to this betrayal? Well, he was considering it, and the angel changed his mind, verse 20. He probably was brooding. Here's some other things that the writer here brings up. It's interesting. He was brooding. Does anybody know what brooding means? Do you ever brood? Anybody? No, you don't want to raise your hand. Do you ever brood? I have. Lots of times I've brooded on certain things. I usually have a lot of patience with people, but material things I don't have a lot of patience with. I really don't. I got to tell you, when our second or third year marriage, living up in Muncie in a trailer court, and it was getting ready to rain, and I was working my way through school, and And the grass was getting extremely high, and I knew I had to do something quick because it's going to rain again. It's going to make it like a wheat field. And I pulled my mower out from under my trailer, and I ranked and cranked and pulled and yanked and cranked and pulled, and I finally picked it up and threw it as far as I could throw it. Ever try to throw a lawnmower? Well, back then, I could throw it further than I could today. Yeah, I don't know if I could pick it up today. But back then, I picked it up and just gave it a throw. Kurt, if you'd have been around, I'd have said, you fix this stupid thing. Okay. I'm just talking about brooding. Brooding. Now you know what brooding is. Expressing anger, sometimes even fury. Boy, if the neighbors would have saw that, they'd have thought, what's the matter with that guy? Man, he's crazy. A man's normal reaction when he finds that his wife had betrayed him. But what relief and joy it must have been when Joseph finally found out that the angel came and set it straight. So then the next thing we see about Joseph, he was obedient. Joseph was obedient. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Verse 24. He was obedient. He did exactly as the angel told him to do. And so he took her as his wife. That's the next thing we see. He's reliable. He took his wife. Verse 24. He took responsibility for Mary, immediately bringing her into his home. In doing so, he was violating the customary one-year engagement, you see. He was violating it by doing it, but that was okay. He would take the shame for that because he loved her and found out that she really was going to bear the Messiah. Wow. He had no problems then after that. But what do you think the people of Nazareth must have thought? He's going to protect her. He's going to protect any attack or hostility or any insults. The people of Nazareth probably thought that he had slept with Mary prematurely because she's pregnant. The complete opposite was true. But you know what people see? They were, you know, they accused him of breaking his contract and sleeping with her before he was supposed to. See, they did back things. They did things decent and in order, much unlike today. Things are out of skelter today. So, we see another character trait. Joseph was self-controlled. He knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Verse 25 is where we get that. Out of respect and reverence for God, the unborn child, he abstained from these sexual relationships. He had his physical desires under control. Later, and this is where we go back to the scripture I told you that I didn't want to delve in that. We're going to get to that right now. Matthew chapter 13, if you're already there, or if you're not, get there. Verse 55. Here we go. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? His brethren? And his brethren, and this is not brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is his physical brothers, James, Joseph, which we derive Joseph from. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Not the Judas you know, but actually this Judas's name is Jude. Do you all remember a book named Jude? That was Jesus' half-brother. Jesus' half-brother wrote the book of Jude. And his other half-brother wrote the book of James. James. Okay? James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And it's not the Simon Peter that we know of. And look at verse 56. We're not done yet. So there's four brothers. And his sisters, plural. Now they're not sure just how many sisters we have. We know he had two. He might have had a third. Did you hear anything, Gene? Anything more about that? Well, I did a little bit of investigation work. When I see stuff like this, I like to study and find out, well, what was their names? Their names, I don't think are mentioned anywhere. I know I see a side reference that says Mary, and they believe Salome, or some pronounce it Salome. They believe Mary and Salome were the two sisters. Now, we say, where do you get this information? Well, sometimes we can get it from other manuscripts that are not part of the King James Version. You have to do some studies, what they call the Lost Gospels, the Gnostics. There's lots of all kinds of books that aren't contained in what's called the canon. The canon is the books of the Bible, and they're listed together. That's what they're called, a canon. And so not all of them have been, they've been refused or objected because there's just sometimes some wild stories that the interpreters just didn't think was appropriate. That's all. And there's just some wild stuff. But we still can get information from them. There's nothing wrong with some of the information we can get from them. It's just that it just doesn't fit. Just didn't fit with the rest of the books of the Bible. And maybe we should have a study on how we got our Bible and the books that we do have. Maybe we should have a study on that. But anyway, his sisters, are they not all with us? Now, the reason they believe that there were more than two sisters is because this other word we come up with. And his sisters, are they not all with us? What's all mean? Well, it could mean more than just two. Must be referring to more than two, or you wouldn't use the word all. Might have been three. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just want to get this information to you so you know where we get it. This is where we get this information. And like I said, the one denomination, without mentioning names, they believe, they try to prove that Mary didn't have any other children besides Jesus. You see, so I'm saying that so you understand that this kind of thing happens. But they have no scripture for it. You know, you got to have scripture for what you believe. If you have no scripture, then why do you believe it? Huh? Hello? I believe what there is for scripture. It's why we have the Bible. It's why we study. To show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Okay. Let's see what else we can find. Oh, I want to give you some more references, by the way. I see some of you are writing. Matthew 12:46. Matthew 13:55-56. That's where we're at. But Matthew 12:46 is a reference to his half-brothers. Luke 8:19 is another reference. And Mark 6:3 is another reference to his stepbrothers. These are references. You need references, you got them. And lastly, Joseph was dependable. Verse 25, he called his name Jesus. He carried out the angel's instructions by naming him. Who else was named by an angel? An angel told him what to name. John the Baptist, thank you. Yes, he was also told by an angel. And remember, they said they was wanting to call him Zechariah or something, you know. No. Zechariah couldn't talk. But what Zechariah did do is he wrote on it. Do you know what they had for writing? Does anybody know what they used for writing? Now, I just learned this through studying. A piece of wood or a piece of ivory? Now, you guessed it. If it was ivory, you were probably quite wealthy. If you were poor, it was a piece of wood. Now, this is pretty simple. Actually, it's clever. So they had a piece of wood. And you know what they'd put on the piece of wood? Wax. They poured wax over the wood. And then they used something sharp, which some of you could use your fingernail. If you just need something sharp, that's all you need. That's all you need. They called it a stylus. Just something sharp. It's probably a piece of wood that was whittled and made sharp. So, and if you were If you were wealthy, you probably had something made out of gold or silver or iron or brass. You know, you had something metal stylus, you know, if you had money. If you didn't, you just had a piece of wood whittled on and made it sharp, that's all. And they'd pour wax over the wood, and then they used it to write on the wax. Now, what if you made a mistake? Well, they didn't have erasers then. You know, you just give it a rub job. It's wax. It's soft. Pretty clever, really. And it's soft. You just give it a rub job, and it's erased. You start over again. And then they would put them back to back. They wouldn't put the wax side together. That would be a mistake. So the way they stored them is they would put the back to back, the wax side out, wax side out, wax side out. And if they needed more, excuse me, they'd bore a hole through it. They'd bore a hole through it, and then they could just keep it that way. They put it on wire or rope or probably some kind of rope. And they stored it that way. You couldn't get them together, be a problem. But anyway, that's what I found. Found that, now you know. Okay. Mary and Joseph's determination, the manger would have certainly remained empty. Excuse me. There'd have been no angels singing over the fields. The shepherds would never have hurried to Bethlehem. And by the way, we always have the Magi always coming around Christmas time at the manger. Does anybody know when they really did come? Anybody have an idea? 2 years later. The kings came 2 years later. Now, you know, it makes it good for Christmas to have the kings come at Christmas time. This is all pageantry. It's all Christmas programs. It's just the way it is. When man gets involved with it, you know, you got to understand they do things just to make it more exciting. So the Magi did not come when the shepherds were. In fact, you can find that in the scriptures. It came 2 years later. Now, they probably seen the star. Probably maybe around the same time. If not, it wasn't too far after. But they came such a far journey. They had a far ways to go. From the east, they traveled by camel. But it wasn't right away. It was about 2 years later that they came. By the way, it was at the same time that King Herod said, "Where do you say that you come to see a king that's being born? Oh, well, when you find him, let me know so I can also worship him." He had no interest in worshiping. He wanted to kill him. He killed anybody that was looked at as a threat to his king, to his throne. And so he was a slaughterer of the innocents. Thousands of babies slaughtered. 2 years old. He wanted the 2-year-old baby slaughtered because he thought by slaughtering them all, he would get that king that the wise men said they came to worship. That's why the king, Herod, said, "Well, when you find him, you let me know so I can also worship him." You lying fox. You're just like your father, the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. So without their determination, Jesus, the Son of God, would not have come to mankind. Reached the end of my message. Y'all bow your heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another wonderful opportunity to share your precious word today. And if there's some of you that will be watching this by way of internet and you've not received Jesus as your Savior, this would be a wonderful time of year to do that. There was no room in the inn, but I pray that there's room in your heart. I pray that you'll make room in your heart for him. Invite him and just ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then invite him to come and live in your heart and live for him the rest of your life so that you'll also, when you die, you'll have an eternal home. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, we ask it. Amen and amen.